Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's. Special welcome for our visitors who are worshiping with us today. Beware the Ides of March, Julius Caesar was told, March 15th. That date is coming up again. He laughed off that warning about death. We know that death is no laughing matter. The world is perishing. But there is only one person that we can look to and know that in him we are safe and saved. We'll hear more about that this morning in our service, in the scripture readings. Look to Jesus in faith. We'll follow along with the order of service as it's printed out for you in your worship folder and projected on the screen. Please stand for our gathering rite. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As a father has compassion on his children,
so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
For he knows how we are formed.
He remembers that we are dust.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth,
so great is his love for those who fear him.
To be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
I
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant, O merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. In our first lesson for today from Numbers chapter 21, people were perishing, and they deserved it. That is what we see throughout the season of Lent, is just the terrible cost of our sin, what we deserve because of it. They were grumbling against the Lord who had delivered them from Egypt. But the Lord is strong to save. And through his promises, as they looked up in faith, they were spared. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our second lesson today, taken from Ephesians chapter 2, we were born dead in our sins and transgressions, yet we were so poor, the Lord so rich in mercy, he gives all of that to us through faith. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel today, taken from John chapter 3, this entire world is perishing because of sin, yet God so loved the world, and he calls on the entire world, look to me in faith. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our next hymn, 570.
Thank you.
Grace and peace are yours from our God who is rich in mercy. Amen. In case you haven't figured it out yet, people who say that the Christian life is nothing but sunshine and gummy bears are wrong. Living for Christ is war. Every morning when you plant your feet on the ground, you set foot on the battlefield. And the scripture readings for these last three Sundays in Lent have shown you different conflicts in this war. Satan's temptations, the cross you carry, even your own heart as it worships. Today, Jesus drives home the point that nowhere is safe. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. In other words, the world does not welcome Christianity. You know the reasons why. Our beliefs are dangerous to society. Our belief about creation stifles scientific advancement. Our beliefs about marriage and family and gender are bigoted. Our belief that there is only one true God and only one true way to Him is hurtful and divisive. But, then again, are those really the teachings of Christianity that are dangerous to society? Right? If you're going to talk about Bible truth that is dangerous to society, you shouldn't talk about creation or marriage or the exclusivity of the faith. Instead, you should focus on the concept that is at the very heart and core of the Christian faith. The central truth of Christianity, its most dangerous aspect. Grace. Grace is dangerous. Now, maybe that sounds strange. After all, you sing Amazing Grace, not Dangerous Grace. In fact, most people would say that the world could use a lot more grace. However, the more appealing grace is to society, the less society understands what grace is. So, what exactly is grace? Well, the first step in understanding it is understanding yourself. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Oh. Well, if this is essential to understanding grace, then you can understand why grace is not very appealing. Who wants to hear that they're dead? But it's true. The wages of sin is death. Death to God, death to good, death to hope of heaven. And this status of being by nature dead in sin affects your life. You followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. When you are dead in sin, you are under the influence of the big three. You live like the world tells you to. You live like the devil encourages you to. You live like your sinful nature wants you to. These three forces are like a strong current that carry you away from God. Being dead in sin means that you are riding that current with no paddles, no motor, no sail, no boat, no hope. Not only is it impossible for you to go against the current, by nature, you don't even want to. So like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. The current that pulls you away from God is pulling you toward eternal death in hell, feeling the full force of God's wrath against sin. And unless you understand that, you cannot grasp the enormity of what comes next. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. Did you hear that? God loves you. Why? Normally, love is caused by its object. You love because what you love has given you a reason to love it. You love Jimmy John's because they have the best bread and they give you those crispy chips. You love your wife because she's beautiful and she makes you happy. That's how love works for human beings. But not God's love. God loves you not because of who you are, but only because of who he is, and he is rich in mercy. Mercy is love that looks at someone who is in need and takes action to meet that need. When God sees your miserable condition, he does not write you off as a lost cause. No, he gets to work. But this right here, this intersection of you and God, is where most definitions of grace go wrong. They present grace as you, pulled helplessly by the current toward your doom. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love for you, throws you a book called Five Easy Swimming Lessons. Or he tosses you a paddle. Or he stands on the shore and shouts encouragement at you. And maybe after you've done everything that you can, after you've fought your hardest, after you've tried your best, after you're almost there, then God will reach out and pull you to safety. And that idea of grace makes sense. After all, God helps those who help themselves, right? No. In fact, that is the exact opposite of grace. Dead people can't read, can't paddle, can't swim, cannot help themselves. You don't need help. You need resurrection. So God made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Three things God did for you. But he did them first for Jesus. You see, because of his great love for you, God who is rich in mercy, did more than help. He jumped in the current with you. The enfleshed Son of God fought against the same evil forces that pull you, but he did so with absolute perfection, without budging a single inch. And then he willingly took your place as the object of God's wrath. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man was lifted up. And after Jesus was finished, what did God do? Three things. He made him alive, he raised him up from the grave, and he seated him in heaven at his right hand. Three things that make it absolutely clear that God is absolutely satisfied with everything that Jesus did for you. So now, when this God who is rich in mercy meets you who are dead in sin, he does for you the exact same things that he did for Jesus. God made you alive with Christ, raised you up with Christ, and seated you with him in the heavenly realms. Notice the past tense. These are not in the future. These are accomplished facts. This is a done deal. The Holy Spirit went out with the gospel, and he raised you to spiritual life, and he sealed you for eternal life. A mansion prepared, a city of gold, no death or mourning or crying or pain. A place at feast for all eternity. And none of that is a reward for a job well done. For you, it's a gift. That's why it's grace. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Grace is unearned love. But make no mistake, grace is absolutely earned. Just not by you or me. It is earned not with gold or silver, but with Jesus' holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. So, why is this grace so dangerous to society? Well, because it changes society, one individual at a time. See, when you follow the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, you want to control God. But grace blows out of the water our natural assumptions about God. Right? Skeptics love to say, grace is so dumb. Someone who spends her entire life doing good but doesn't believe in Jesus goes to hell. But if the serial killer comes to Christ before he dies, he goes to heaven? No way. That objection hides an attitude that wants to control God with good deeds. They want God to pay us back in return for the good that we do. They want God in our debt. Even Christians can think like that. When you have faith in your faith or faith in your emotions, and think that you're saved simply because you believe or just because you feel it. And as long as you believe and as long as you feel it, everything's going to be okay. No, grace means that you don't have faith in just anything. Grace means that you're saved by believing in Jesus. And even your faith in Jesus is a gift of God's grace. And that grace has nothing to do with how you feel and everything to do with how God feels. So grace is dangerous because it completely changes those who receive it. Grace means that God expects absolutely nothing from you. Grace means that you have God's full approval before any of your improvement. And that means that grace will change you. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Grace makes you a completely different person than you were before. And that's dangerous, because part of you still wants to glow with the flow, to ride the ways of the world, to listen to the lies of the devil, and to act on every desire of your sinful flesh. And to that part of you, grace is deadly. Because God had in mind from all eternity that your life, your entire life, every single moment of your life would be filled with good works. Because by grace, you stand resurrected. You stand in the incomparable riches of his grace. You stand in his kindness to you in Christ Jesus. You stand forgiven. And I don't know about you, but this dangerous grace sounds like exactly what we need. It sounds like exactly what the world around us needs. Happy Lent. Amen. Please stand. This morning we confess our faith with the Christians who have come before us and the Christians who will go after us with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we praise you for all your blessings. You forgive our sins, heal our diseases, and redeem our lives from the pit. Be with Wendy Reinemann through her upcoming chemo treatments. Grant wisdom to the medical staff and endurance to the Reinemanns. Above all, give the family a firm trust in your strength and salvation. And hear us as we pray in our Savior's name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please be seated for the distribution, and if you're visiting with us today, please note our practice of close communion at St. Paul's.